and our consideration here for some time, growing up in our Lord, we want to take some time to talk about our daily walk with Jesus. Our daily walk with Jesus. I invite you to turn your Bibles a little to Psalm 46, verse number 1. Psalm 46, verse number 1. I want us to slow down. I'm typically, as you know, I at least what it seems like from the inside is just a real fast kind of preaching and just kind of like a machine gun, sometimes worse than others. I want us to slow down tonight, and that'll do us well to slow down tonight. And I want us to think about our relationship with our Savior. Our relationship with our Savior. We've got relationships in our lives. And some have more than others, but everybody's got relationship with folks on this earth, right? I mean, we've got our parents, we've got our siblings. Many of you have siblings that you were in your family there. You have siblings now that you're in your family with, and you have that relationship with them. We that are married, we've got our spouses, and we have those of us that have children, have grandchildren. We've got relationship here in the church. We've got relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ. I have a relationship with you as your pastor, and you with me as your pastor. We've got relationships all around. When we talk about those relationships, and whether it's kin or whether it's friends. And we've got relationships with those that we work with, right? You know, I mean, I've worked with many people, and you have too, that you had to work with them, but really because of their behavior, their way, you really wouldn't prefer to be around them, you know, because of the way that they do. You know, we need not be a respecter of persons, but there is that aspect of life that we can't change people in the way that they do. We need to be a good witness to them, and where we have responsibility or purview, authority in say being the boss or whatever, we can control some things. But then with some people, you just can't control things, and so it's such that the relationship that you have, and maybe as an acquaintance, is you get your business done, and then you just don't want to be around one another. There's all kinds of different relationships. Well, we have a relationship with our Lord Jesus. And how is that? How is that with you and with me? You know, we love our spouses, don't we? And I count my wife, Clarissa, to be my best friend on this earth. She is. And she's been my best friend for nigh unto 30-some years. And I'm thankful for that. We have a friendship, and I love her. And so she's my best friend. And how is that relationship between one another? You know, if Clarissa and I went for a week, 3 days, and we're very near one another, passing by in the kitchen, in the hallway, outside, riding together to places, but we never talked. What would be going on with the relationship? What if she's talking, but I'm not listening? What would be going on with the relationship? Now, I love her, and she's the best friend I have upon this earth. You know what I mean, of amongst mankind, of Adam's descendants, right? Well, we've got our Lord Jesus. And there's no better one than Him, is there? No one better than our Lord Jesus, who has been so gracious to us and so merciful and so compassionate to come where we were and pull us out of that. Amen. And so we have our relationships, you know, those who you love and those that you really get along well with, you know, we talk to and we visit and we have times we get together and do things together and visit, eat together and fellowship together. And what a wondrous blessing that we have here in the church with our brothers and sisters in Christ that we, along with meeting together to worship our Lord, we have fellowship one with another. I mean, it's like, I love it. I'm thankful for it. It's like the beginning of services. It comes on 6:59, 7 o'clock, 7:02. It's kind of like, okay, break it up, get in your seats. We need to start services. Why? Because you're visiting, you're talking, you're catching up. You've got questions, you're finding out. You know, you've got whatever's going on. That's great. And so those that we have relationships with that are good relationships and that we love and care for and have a friendship with and all that, we interact with, don't we? But what would it be like if one of us is talking and the other one's not listening, and or maybe one's talking and looking to help and tell what's right, but then that's being rejected by the other. I tell you what, we go right into a realm of hurt feelings and really wondering about what kind of friendship do we have, right? If that would be amongst us. So how is it with our Lord Jesus in our daily walk? In Psalm 46, it says here, in this Old Testament verse, Psalm 46, verse number 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Emphasis tonight on the word present. Present. I've been thinking about a lot of things relative to this. I pray the Lord will continue to help with it and show and flush things out about this, that we might be helped with it. It's just really been a great blessing to me in embarking upon this. Do you and I understand that Jesus is as near to us as he was when he walked on this earth? Do you dispute that statement? If you do, I want to hear from you about it. Yes, I know I can't put my arm around the Lord Jesus, nor can I see him physically like I can see you. I can come shake your hand. I can't do that with the Lord Jesus physically. I can't see him. Okay, granted. But is there anything missing? Is there anything else missing? Is there? Our Lord Jesus was with the disciples, and there in John chapter 17, you know, he's praying for them and praying for us, and has made a promise of the Spirit. And I've always, you know, there's that teaching and that doctrine about how the Spirit had not yet been given. If you know those references there in the New Testament and the Gospels, yet we see David crying unto the Lord in his sin and his repentance for his sin, that he begs the Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And so the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God has always been for the believer and in the believer and those that are saved, all the way since Adam and woman. But there is something new that happens in the New Testament that John preaches, that he says, this one that I'm preaching and that I'm running before will baptize you with fire and with the Holy Ghost. And from the standpoint of salvation and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, that's not new. But then there in John chapter 20, the Lord Jesus says unto his church after his resurrection, he says, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Receive ye the Holy Ghost, as I think is actually what the words are. And so we know that Holy Spirit work of the Comforter is in the church in the Lord Jesus Christ's stead. The Holy Spirit's doing that work, and that's a special work of the Holy Spirit within the church. I think that's very plain from the Scripture. But then we see some other passages in here that I wonder if maybe aren't applicable to that subject of the giving of the Holy Spirit is that Jesus, the man, lives within us. Because he became a man. There was a day Jesus wasn't a man. And then he was conceived. And he became a man by the Holy Spirit of God within Mary. And so let's take a look here about what the Scripture says about our Lord living within us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the apostle writing to this church at Corinth and dealing with her and trying to help her, help the members with the things that they're dealing with. Look in verse number 16 of the third chapter, 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 16. He talks about building on the foundation, and he says here in verse number 16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." And so, relative to the church, well, sure. Yeah, I mean, we are a house that is built, but I think that that also applies to us individually, too. And he goes on. There's some other passages here. And so he says here, the Holy Spirit of God dwelleth within us. Verse number 15 of chapter 6. Take a look over the next page over. 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 15. Know ye not, and notice, you hear this? This know ye not is a theme. Okay, it's a theme through here. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? And so now that we can hone in and zero in on the individual, can't we? Your bodies, plural, all right, members, fitly joined together in church, but he's talking in particular. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? Evidently there was some issue with fornication there. God forbid. He said, God forbid that. No. What? Verse 16, know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. And that's a reference to marriage. And that intimacy that's only it's reserved by God for marriage. And he says, this joins, you know, there is that this that we've been joined to Christ. There is that sense that we are married to Christ in his church. I mean, his church is referred to as his bride. We've got this that we are the members of him, and he lives within. Verse 17, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Okay? Verse number 18, flee fornication. In regards to that physically, verse number 19, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Verse 20, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So the Spirit, we see it's very plain that the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is living within us. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. He writes a second epistle and he challenges them, and we see this in the Scriptures in several different places. The little caveats that are or charges that are in the Scripture. Are you sure you're saved? Are you the Lord's? Do you know the Lord? Does he know you? Are you saved by him? 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 5, examine yourselves. We've got the Lord's Supper coming up. I tell you what, we need to be examining ourselves all the time. Be ready at any time. Be continually doing so. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not, there it is again, your own selves, how that Jesus is in you, except ye be reprobates. Now, here we don't have the Holy Spirit reference, but Jesus. Jesus living within. How much closer can you get than in the heart, in the soul, in the mind? Have you heard that still small voice of the Lord within? It's not audible, but I tell you what, it's for sure there and real. Amen? For those that are saved, it is. Christ is in us. He's very near. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Our daily walk with Jesus. In Colossians chapter 1, we pick it up here in verse number 27. Paul's speaking about the responsibility, stewardship that he's been given and its ministry given to him by the Lord. And in verse number 27 of Colossians 1, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, even to us, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I don't mean that in a belittling sense, but not only the Holy Spirit of God, but our Lord Jesus within us. I tell you what, that's very present, isn't it? He is. He is very near. You know what? As a child of God, you can always cry out to the Lord. You know He's there, don't you? I mean, Doesn't matter where you go. You might be separated from everybody, locked up in the deepest dungeon, and Christ is there. Because He lives within. He lives within. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse number 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. We desire those that are not saved to be saved, don't we? If you're here and you're not saved, I want you to be saved. I want you to know the Lord too. I want you to know that gift. I want you to know that peace, that help, that rescue. I want you to know. You that are saved, you want them to know too, don't you? We do. Whereunto I also labor, listen to this, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. We're members. We're instruments. We're not puppets. We are willing instruments of the Lord in this great blessing of salvation and the gospel being preached to sinners and the Word of God being spread out. In Hebrews chapter 13, our brother writes to the Jews, and so much that we learn in this book, and it's amazing. Man, the work of God is just so amazing. He writes to the Hebrews and yet reveals so much to us about Christ. That it's there. You can see it in the Old Testament. But I tell you what, this commentary sums it up in Hebrews. The brother's rapid firing some closing thoughts, and he says in verse number 5 of Hebrews 13, "Let your conversation, what you think, do, and say, be without covetousness, covetousness being that last commandment of the ten in Exodus 20, being the seed of all the rest, right? I mean, why do we go a wicked way? It's because we want something else. We want something else. He said, let your conversation, your thinking, your speaking, your doing, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, is that true? Amen. You know, and this is not, we who are older, we remember some of the cartoons of days gone by. I remember some cartoons in particular that you've got a person that's in a quandary about a decision. And you've got the little white one over here on this shoulder, and you got the little black one over here on this shoulder speaking to what needs to be. Little angel, little devil, little whatever, a little miniature of the person. That's not how Christ is with us. Christ is not on our shoulder or hanging around a little cloud over here. He is in us. He is in us. He's in us. So how about our daily walk with our Lord Jesus? How about our daily walk? And I don't speak to you as one that's got it together telling you to follow me. I'm speaking to us as to be challenged about these things from our Lord, and that we might understand what we really, really have and have been called to. If you and I didn't speak, being so near one another as our Lord Jesus is to us, if we didn't speak or we didn't listen or we didn't visit in fellowship, how would it be with our relationship? For there's no one nearer. There is no one nearer. There is no one that has been so benevolent to us. No one. And we look to be good to one another. But our Lord Jesus has been better to us than any parent could ever be to any child. The greatest giver of this earth, our Lord Jesus has been better than that to us. Oh, understand, we can never repay Him. It's not about repaying Him. Don't consider it that. I'm just talking about His commitment to us friendship-wise. If the way that we treat our Lord Jesus and Savior would be transposed over to the way that we treat other friends that we have on this earth, how would those friendships fare? In Matthew chapter 7, our Lord on the Sermon on the Mount, it's interesting here, and we're going to be touching on these things in the coming messages, but he touches on this, or he mentions this, and I tell you what, it really seems to, it's gotten thicker than it was before, if you will. In Matthew chapter 7, our Lord Jesus says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." In regards to our relationship with our Lord, do you hear that there? Well, what are the vehicles? What are the things that we have in regards to our relationship? Ask. Don't we have the greatest blessing of prayer unto our Lord? And understand, I think we can allow the word prayer to get in the way. It's us speaking to our Lord. You speak to me about what's going on. You speak to me about maybe some way I can help you. But you know what? We talk to our friends, our nearest friends, just about everything. And isn't it something that I would talk to Clarissa about what's going on that we know of and that we're associated with or the day or whatever, but I wouldn't talk to the Lord about it. And I love her and she's my friend. But Jesus is more of a friend than her. And so we've got this about life, and I don't ask or talk. What's it say? Ask and seek. What better thing do we have that our Lord's provided for us to know about the way He thinks? His Word. His Word. You see that? You want to know what to do? Go to His Word. Talk to Him about what's going on and go to His Word and ask Him for an answer. We'll talk about the dilemma amongst us. And we do commit to pray about it and asking the Lord to help. But isn't that something? Ask. That's talking to our Lord and seeking, hearing from Him in His Word. And what's this about knock? Going forward to take what our Lord has given us and taking it and applying it to this life He's given us to live. Isn't that something? Asking. We're asking Him, seeking from Him through His Word and His Word, His leadership of His Spirit, and then knocking, going forward, trusting Him, looking to Him for the answers that we need as we go forward. There's something in it. In John chapter 13, our Lord Jesus is with the disciples coming near to the time of His crucifixion, and He's preparing them. Jesus is always thinking ahead. He's always thinking ahead, isn't He? He's washed the disciples' feet. They don't understand what's going on. And in this, I want us to see the aspects of our Savior. Our Lord Jesus is multifaceted. And we need to understand in His relationship with us, our relationship with Him, is that He is complex. But He spells it out for us. We've just got to be listening. Just got to be listening. He says here in Matthew, or John chapter 13, verse number 13, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am." How much do you and I worship our Lord, just us and Him? You know, we think about collective corporate worship in the congregation, and we're called to that in the services that we have. But do you worship your Lord and just thank Him for being Him on your own? Just you and Him? He is our Master. He is our Lord. He's worthy of praise every second of our life. Right? Is there any time to throttle up, throttle down on that? Never. How much do you talk to Him that way, that He is your Master and your Lord? How much do I do? It's not a thing of comparing one with another. We're all responsible before Him. And you know what? We've got set before us the possibility of blessing, of and joining Him and meeting Him in that aspect of our relationship with Him. If we don't, we miss out. But I tell you what, if we do, oh, we're blessed indeed. Because a fellowship's sweeter. Worshiping, oh, some have said that they've got their way of worshiping the Lord, that they can worship the Lord this way or that. We're to never bail out on any aspect that our Lord brings to our attention. Don't think that this is a substitute for collective corporate worship in the church. It's not. It's just a blessing and an opportunity otherwise that we have. Because here He is, not the little cloud, but inside. He's worthy to be worshiped. He is our Master and Lord. Yet in John chapter 15, as He continues to deal with them, deal with us, He says this, referred to this a lot here lately, and it's been just been on my heart in many aspects of things, but our Lord says it right here in John 15, 13, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends. If you do whatsoever I command you, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So our daily walk with Jesus, our relationship with our Master, our Lord, our relationship in our communication with our Savior, our relationship, our communication, our fellowship with the best friend we've got. You ever been at a table or been in a group or been, maybe you've gone someplace and everybody's talking and a lot of people are visiting and you're just kind of here on the outside of the loop. And all of us have experienced that at one time or another. I'm fearful to say that I think our Lord Jesus experiences it a lot. He's right here with us. So maybe we'd be challenged. You know what we can do? We can say, Lord, forgive me. And thank you for reminding me. Or thank you for showing me. And help me to be conscious of it going forward. And help me, Lord, not to leave you out of the conversation. Amen? He'll forgive us. When we don't know, you don't know, and you don't realize things, you don't realize things, and the Lord brings it to us. We ask Him to work on us and help us and build us up and show us, don't we? And then He does. And it brings some sorrow. But now that we know going forward, maybe you already knew. That's great. Thank you for praying for me that I could catch up a little bit. But our daily walk, let us ask and seek and knock with the best friend, Savior, Master, and Lord that we have. Continue to pray that the Lord will help us in these coming messages as we take a look about our daily walk. And we've got a hint there in Matthew 7 about asking and seeking and knocking. Prayer unto our Lord, and you know, a formal time of prayer every day, multiple times a day, is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's appropriate, but it's not the only way. Feeding upon the Word of God and reading by rote to get through the Bible in 1 year, well, that's not a bad thing. But the thing is, we need to eat the Word of God. We need to feed upon the Word of God. Get it put together in our hearts. That's what we need to accomplish. And worship of our Lord and praising His name, even on our own. As you go, you know, thank Him for the blessings and that. And so many things to pray for. We have so many facets of life to pray for. And for every facet of life, we had to pray, have to pray for and ask the Lord for help and work in it. We've got all those facets to thank Him for when He works. Right? And then we've just got Him because He's Him. To praise and worship Him and extol Him and thank our Lord for all that He's done for us. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to our Savior. He's wonderful. And you can trust Him. I tell you what, He's the most solid. He's the most, He is filled. He is all through and through filled with fidelity, faithfulness. Our Lord Jesus, as He went through every second of His life on this earth, never once quit. Never once failed. Never once turned tail and run. Never once. To bring such an awesome, perfect, wonderful salvation to sinners like you and me. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to Him. Repent of your sins before Him, before God, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, Him and His gospel for the salvation of your soul.